Welcome, everybody. Praise the Lord. Another day of healing school. Amen. How many of y'all got something out of last week's healing school? Me too. I had to listen to it again. I was online on the evening because we run it in Facebook at 7 o'clock on Thursday evenings, and I had to listen to it again because it was so good. So I want to continue where we were because I am notorious for running wild and not sticking to my verses that I have on the page. So I figured that I should probably stick to the verses on the page. So I'm going to resist the temptation to even go somewhere else right now. Amen? Amen. So if you've got your Bibles out, would you grab them? And let's go to Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. Praise the Lord. Okay. On Mark 11:24, I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version, all right? It says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray." How many of y'all ask things when you pray? I do too. You know, we pray and we ask things, right? Who do we ask? We ask God, don't we? So when we're praying to God and we're asking God for something, okay, this is what he says our posture has to be. Okay, so now here it is. It says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask," that's asking God when you pray, "believe that you receive them." That's the fun part right there. You believe that you receive them. So that's where we're going to focus on. I've been on this for weeks now, and I'm going to stay on it until I feel like maybe we made some inroad into this area. Because here's the thing. Not to embarrass anybody or give anybody's private stuff away, but I listen to people as they pray. And as I've listened to people pray, I hear a tremendous amount of unbelief in their prayers. What they are not doing is believing that after they asked God for something, he gave it to them right then and there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He gave it to them right then and there. And I have noticed that as I've listened to a lot of people pray, they don't believe that they just got what they asked for. So we want to talk about that today, okay? So when we say that you have gotten what you asked for, what do I mean when I say that? A lot of us are caught down in the natural carnal world, and we're underneath the clouds where it's storms and rain and darkness, instead of above the clouds where the sun constantly shines all the time. So a lot of us are under our dilemma, under our problem, and we're praying from being under the problem. And when you're under the problem, when you're in the storm, when you're beneath the gray clouds, you cannot see the sun shining, can you? You'll say, "Where's the sun?" Even though in your heart you know it's always shining and never stops shining, right? Right. So what happens is I listen to people praying, and I do this myself sometimes. I'm not perfect. But when we pray from inside of our bad situation or from the pain that we're experiencing or the shortcoming that we're experiencing, we're under the storm cloud wondering where God is at this time. And at that moment, it's difficult to believe you've received it. Are you with me? So I believe that's why the Bible talks about us stirring up the gift, that we should rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, so that we build ourselves up to get above our situations in the presence of God. And if we'll build ourselves up to get above the clouds, get some altitude instead of being under the oppression, get some altitude, Then when we see the sun shining in our eyes, when we see the Lord in our eyes, then it's a lot easier to believe that when we ask for it, we got something because there's nothing in the way. Does that make sense? Okay, so what we need to do is operate by what? It's the F word. Faith. What is faith? Faith is believing what God said is true, regardless of whether I can prove it on the earth. That's my way of saying it. It's believing what God said is true, whether or not I can prove it's true in the earth. Are you with me? And sometimes we're praying from our physical body going through issues, or our financial life going through issues, or our relationships going through issues, and we're caught in that moment asking to be rescued rather than getting altitude and getting in the presence of God and speaking in faith over our situation. Are you with me? Okay, I'm going to try to expound on this more. Can you go back to 23, please? So let's look up one verse. And he says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," okay, can mountains hear you? Yes, they can, according to Jesus. This example was a fig tree. He spoke to a fig tree. Did the fig tree respond to his words? Yes, the fig tree responded to his words and dried up at the roots, right? So therefore, our speaking actually does something. It doesn't say think. He didn't think the fig tree to dry up at the roots, did it? It didn't say he touched the fig tree and it dried up at the roots. He spoke to the fig tree and it dried up at the roots. It amazed the apostles. They were disciples at this time. They were still legitimately the disciples. Because it's like, what did Jesus just do? I don't know. But that tree is definitely dead. And that's when he said, have the faith of God in verse 22. Right? Have faith in God. The word in is not there, and it is there in a lot of other translations. So if they meant to put it in there in the original language, it would have been there. So he's saying, have the faith of God. You guys need to rise up above the clouds in your life and get up to where you can see clearly again. And from that place, speak to your problems. From a victorious position, speak to your problems. So let me just break this down a little bit. Is cancer in a physical body their cancer? No, it's not. It's spiritual. Did Jesus have authority over cancer? Yes. Did he have authority over the wind and the waves? Yes. Did he have authority over the fig tree? Yes. Did he have authority over a dead person to rise? Yes. Did he have authority to turn water into wine? Yes. Do you know all of those things he spoke? He spoke all of those things. And I talked to you about in Hebrews that when God created Jesus, that when Jesus spoke things into existence, all things are held up by the word of his power. Not the power of his words. The words of his power. So let me just clarify this. Words have power, but it's not the words that have the power. Words are carriers, they're containers of power. So whatever is in you, your words are going to encapsulate what's in you and carry what's in you out into the world and the atmosphere around you and present whatever it was in you that you spoke out of you into them. Are you with me? It's the word of his power. He had the power, and then his words encapsulated that power and took it out and did what he said. Are you with me? If you have fear in you, and you're speaking out of fear or lack, that's what's in you. Your words, no matter what they are, encapsulate that fear or lack and carry that out. And that's what you get more of. So what we have to do is realize a few things. Is God good? All the time. If you ask for something from God, does he say, I will think about it? What does he say? He says, yes, it's yours. Doesn't he? It even says in James chapter 1 that if you ask for wisdom, that God gives it to you liberally and without reproach. But me paraphrasing, but you cannot be double-minded about whether or not God gives it to you, because if you don't know for sure that God gives it to you, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's his will, maybe it's not his will. Maybe it's the timing of God, maybe it's not the timing of God. Maybe I acted right, maybe I didn't act right. Maybe it's not my place to ask for this, maybe it is. All that stuff. You receive nothing from God. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But if you believe that God is good and he gives you what you personally say or ask for, and you can believe that, you will have that. Verse 23, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, I'll come back to that, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Speaking to the mountain, believing in your heart what you say comes true. If you walked up to a mountain, no, let me say something simple. If you walked up to a street lamp and said, pull yourself up and go plant yourself in the dump, do you have faith it will do that for you? If you don't think it will do it, it won't do it. It won't. And then it's very easy for a carnal, soulish, earthly-bound, hypnotized human being to say, well, nobody can do that. And what they've just done is put themselves in an unbelief category and made themselves common with the unbelief, saying this is all there is. And that's a lie. We have to get out of the hypnotic state of being mesmerized by this group thinking that's on the planet and take our position in heavenly places and speak from a position of being a heavenly son or daughter of God. So he says, whoever says to this mountain, do mountains have ears? Yes, they do. Everything can hear you. Now let's define what hearing is. When you speak, do you know there's not actually something called sound? Do you know it's not there? Ask a deaf person if there's sound. What are they going to tell you? No. What makes sound real? Your ears. Your ears is what makes sound real. Because if you're deaf, there is no sound. So it's your ears that make sound, right? It actually receives something and then makes sound. The sound is actually, when you speak, there's something called a vibration, right? And your words have vibrations. They have a frequency. And that goes into the atmosphere, and that touches your eardrum. And then the eardrum moves these little hairs, or whatever, the three bones, blah, 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 creates the ear, goes on the eardrum, bang, makes sound, hits a nerve, goes into your brain, and your brain translates that as what you're hearing, right? So these vibrations that you speak go into everything. They go into everything. So everything can hear you. Everything can, if that's what you declare hearing, absorbing that frequency. Everything hears. Here's something fancy about you and me. We have something, this is my word for it, it's called an auditory nerve. Let me tell you what the real name is. So that those of you that are online and are medical students, it's called the vestibulocochlear nerve. V-E-S-T-I-B-U-L-O-C-O-H. L-E-A-R, nerve. And it has something called an auditory pathway. What that nerve is, which is really interesting, you guys, this nerve goes from your inner ear, and that goes to your brain, but it also branches off and goes to nearly all the organs in your body. Now, your organs have nerves coming from your spine, going to all your organs, coming from your brain. But they also have nerves coming from your ear into all the organs in your body. Why would God let your spleen hear what you're saying, or your stomach hear what you're saying, or your heart hear what you're saying, or your liver hear what you're saying? What's the point of your organs hearing? Isn't that weird? But they do. There's a real nerve that goes from your inner ear through your body into your organs. Guess what? Because all of them are receiving input, your whole body is listening to the world around you. And it's obeying what it's hearing. Your organs are listening to the television. They're listening to the internet. They're listening to your words. They're listening to everybody around you. Everything you're hearing, every organ in your body is hearing also. It's all paying attention. And therefore, the environment that you're putting your body into has influence in the way your body's responding. Are you with me? Believe it or not, diet also has a huge impact into the way your body is going to be. I don't want to go too far, but all the microbes in your body are trained by the way you feel in your stomach. Not indigestion, nerves, intuition. That's what trains. I don't want to go too deep. Your body is responding to what is coming into it. Okay? We have to take responsibility and speak over our lives. Not only when you have trouble. And the reason we don't do it only when we have trouble is because you're already buried under the clouds in the storm where you feel like you're separate from God already. And now to dig yourself out of the hole is nearly impossible. Okay? That's why we need other people to come pray for us, because we're buried. Right? I remember as a kid, sidetrack, we were playing as a kid and we had a carpet there and people were moving, you know. And so we had the carpet there and they said, roll up the carpet. And I had the great idea, roll me up in the carpet. Well, they rolled me up in the carpet. Guess what? Fear struck my body big time because there's no way you can get out. You're not a snake. You can't do this thing. You got to move your body a little bit to get it to go. And when you're stuck like this, I was actually did it this way. I was stuck like this, man, in the carpet. You know how far my mouth is from the end of the carpet? I was frightened big time. I'm hollering. But you know how dense the carpet is when it's all rolled up? Nobody can hear me. And I'm crying and screaming and having an attack. And I'm doing it. And finally, after what seemed like minutes to me, they unrolled me, and I'm a blethering mess, and they're all laughing their guts out around me, my brothers and sisters. What's my point? You and I have to speak before we get buried in our problems. We have to speak to whatever it is in our lives. Our body responds to our words. So we have to say to whatever our situation is in our life. Now, here's the wonderful part. They didn't just leave speak to the mountain all by itself. Speak to your sickness. Speak to your finances. Speak to your relationships. Speak to whatever it is all by itself. It also connected that with that you have to believe that what you say actually must take place. No, that it did take place when you said it. It's yours. And it's there because we're spiritual sons and daughters of God. We live in the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are in Christ. We're spirit. That which is spirit is spirit. That which is flesh. John chapter 3. We're spirit and our identity is in the spirit. That what we speak to God who is spiritual, who we must worship in spirit and in truth. From the spiritual point of view, when we're above the situations, we ask God in the spirit who delivers it to us. Where? In the spirit. It must be real from that place. If it's not real from that place, you have doubt. You're doubting whether or not it's actually yours when you ask for it. And if you doubt that it's yours when you've asked for it, what does James say in chapter 1? You can't receive anything from God. It doesn't happen. And I see so many people praying in unbelief, that it's actually grievous to the Holy Spirit. Not saying you grieve the Holy Spirit, but unbelief prayers don't work. You have to believe. So what do we need to do so that when we speak, we absolutely believe that what we've said has come to pass? All right, let's find out where our faith is at. Faith is what? The substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things unseen. Is that right or wrong? Okay, so let me just say what Woost says about faith. Let me just back up. Faith and belief are very much the same. They're not exactly the same, but they're very much the same. To have faith means you believe. Faith is to believe, okay? They're very, very similar. So faith is to believe. So if you have faith towards God, you're believing God. Without faith, without believing, it's impossible to please God, right? So we have to operate in this faith. So as, let me just ask you this. Boy, I really want to go down there. I'm going to come back to this. Put yourself in this position. If you have a child, and your child is your own child, and your child is growing up, and you tell your child what you like, do you think the child should use wisdom to use that information in the relationship with their dad? Let's just say this. If dad says, in our house, we pray and give thanks before we eat our food. Okay? That's what dad says. That's what we do in our house. Right? And he trains you to pray before you eat your food and give thanks for your food. If dad says, no video games after 9 p.m., then that's the rule. Right? If dad says, I like blue ties, then you know, get dad blue ties. He likes blue ties. If dad says, I can't stand something, then you need to listen to dad and you'll hear, right? Because dad sets the tone for the whole house. Some moms do, but in the biblical sense, the father is the house, the leader of the house, all right? Our Heavenly Father says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. Okay? If you can't believe me when I tell you something, there's no way it pleases me because you're my child. And I'm telling you, believing me is the most important thing as my child. And I am telling you that when you ask me for something, you have it. Now you get to decide if you're going to listen to the world and be trained by the world or by your Heavenly Father. We have to decide to listen to God and believe God. That's faith. Believing God, it says that in Hebrews 1, in one of the translations, says, faith apprehends as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. What is absolutely not revealed to your five senses. So you can't say, I don't feel, I can't see. You can't use those with God. They don't count. Faith apprehends as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It rests on the fact, acts upon it, and is upheld by it in the face of all that seems to contradict it. Faith is real seeing. Wu says this. So faith is believing God when there's no proof on this earth realm that it's true. How many are experts at that? Raise your hands. For those of you on video, nobody raised their hands. Did any of you raise your hands? Nobody raises their hands. Believing God is paramount above what you're going through in your circumstances. This means we have to train ourselves. This means we have to actually start training ourselves to believe God. One of my favorite scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Why don't you go to that? That's one of my favorite scriptures. 13:5. I want to let you know, whatever topic I'm on, those are my favorite scriptures. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So let me say this. Examine yourself. Test yourself. When you speak words, do you believe they are going to come to pass? I want to let you know, you absolutely do believe that's true. You absolutely do believe that's true. And here's the clincher. You know, when you believe it's true, this is really important. Pay attention. When the words come out of you, you believe it's true. I'll prove it. If you have a dog and your dog goes out into the yard to use the bathroom and you need the dog to come back in, do you call the dog? Why would you call the dog if you didn't expect that calling him, the dog would return? If you have a child and the child is touching things and the child's small and it shouldn't be touching things and you say, no, don't touch that. Do you believe your words have power that the child should obey you? Do you believe it should? Absolutely you do. Or you wouldn't speak the words. So the thing is to get those words to originate from you that you speak. When you have the words originating from you of faith, then you'll see results. But it has to come out of you. It has to originate from you. Then it's you speaking, and you believe your words will come to pass. How many of you speak words that you know will not come to pass? Let's just think. When you go to the ice cream store, do you ask for a flavor you do not want? No. When you go to the car dealership, do you ask for a car you're unwilling to drive? No. When do you ever ask for something that you don't want? Zero, I'm expecting zero is actually the number. So then it comes down to Do you believe you receive what you ask for? When you're convinced you can have what you ask for, then you'll ask for it. In other words, when you go to the car dealership and you're going to buy a car, you're convinced you're buying a car. When you go to the ice cream store, you're convinced they're going to give you the flavor that you choose, if you're choosing something in that store, of course, right? You're convinced of it. When you go to the store to buy milk and you ask for milk, you get milk, right? It's the way that it works. So then why does it change all of a sudden when you ask God for something? What happens inside of you that so many people void that they can have what they ask for with God? Isn't it weird? Isn't that strange? In my own life, I'm convinced that what I say goes and that my point matters and that what I want, I should have. But when it comes to God, for some reason, I think he's going to withhold it, or something's going to void it, or there's something else that makes a difference in it. And he says this, that whatsoever thing you ask, believing you receive, you will have it. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Robert. How do I believe then if I don't believe? Great question. Thank you for asking. I've got a lot of scriptures that I can be using, and again, I should just not even tell you guys this. I should just go with it and just ignore the fact, right? I should just completely ignore the fact 100%. Go with me to John chapter 6. Are you with me? John chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 26. I'm going to go through 29. We're going to focus on 29. Ready? Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." So he's saying we need to endure for food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. The seal of God's on you also. Says it in two other places. Anyway, they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Great question. Look at his question. Now, this is the work that you need to do if you want to operate in the power of God. This is your work. Here it is. Jesus answered and said to them, verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." That's the work. You're going to have to work it out. Do you believe God? Do you believe Jesus? That's the hard part. That's where you're going to have to do the work of God. You're going to have to say, "Is it true that what I say will come to pass? Is it true?" We went over last week that we are sons of God, that we do have a right to be sons of God, that Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in Jesus, and they are in us and we are in them, and we are all one, and that we're sons of God just like God, that we have everything of his and he has everything of ours, and we have to do the work to work out believing God. If it was easy, the whole world would do it. They really would. But this is the part that we have to decide if we're going to measure up or not. If we are going to operate in healing power, if we are going to receive from God our requests. Here's the wonderful thing. I'm learning this. I'm telling you, I am really learning this. This is exciting stuff. Do you know failures are just as important as successes? Why is that? Because a failure shows you that there's still a chink in your armor. There's still a weak link somewhere as you're trying to work things out. So this last verse we said in 2 Corinthians 13, it said that we need to examine ourselves and test ourselves. Do we not know that Jesus Christ is in us? So let me ask you this. If Jesus Christ asks for something from the Father, does he get it? Oh, yes, absolutely, yes, Jesus does. Do you know God says that just as much as he loved Jesus, he loves you in John chapter 17. Just as much. Jesus says, I'm in you, and the Father, and the Holy Spirit. If you abide in us, we make our home in you. And whatever thing you ask, you'll have it. It pleases the Father to give you these things. So he wants us to grow up to realize we're over creation and not under its thumb. But we are over it. So now we speak to create, just like our Heavenly Father. And when he says, speak, and I'll give it to you, we need to believe it's ours. And here's the thing. Between the time that you ask and the time that you say, there it is, that you receive it by faith, and the there it is, this part in between is what you've got to train yourself. It doesn't matter. This in-between part doesn't matter. If I said I have a check for you for $1,000 and I'm right here and I've got a check for you for $1,000, okay, do you care how long it takes me to walk over to you to hand it to you? Really? What if I walk this slow? You'll go, I got a lunch appointment, Robert. That's taking a long time. All right, go to lunch. Oh, I can't. You know, I got things I got to do. I got a day that I need to do. All right, go. But if you will, wait, I'm going to get this $1,000 to you. I am. I'm working on it. Does that make sense? It don't matter how long it takes. It's that there's actually a check in my hand that I want to present it to you, or say it's cash in my hand, and I want to give it to you because you asked for it. I'm not saying God goes slow, but there are influences and things that make the decision on how long it takes. What if you ask for something that isn't around? God's got to create it, and he's got to get it to you. What if what you're asking for somebody else owns already, and they've got to decide to sell it and get rid of it so it's available for you? What if you're asking for a certain kind of a home? I did that. I asked for a certain kind of a home in a neighborhood with certain kinds of conditions, with certain amenities. I mean, I was very specific. And you know what? It took about probably 2 or 3 months before me and that house got connected together. But when we got connected together, it was absolutely everything I asked for with the conditions that I asked for. It was unreal because God had to get the situation. Here's what had to happen. Somebody had to die. The guy that owned it had to die for God to get it to me. And I don't think God was rushing his death just so that I can have it. It just was circumstantial. Everything's woven together in a big old tapestry. And we're on the bottom side looking at the ugly side of it. But to God, it's working perfectly. So the time you ask and receive in the Spirit, however long it takes to manifest in the flesh, who cares? When you're in pain and things like that, you need more of an instant response. And you get healing, you get prayers from other people that are in faith, and we start working on this together. But that doesn't mean that we have personal responsibility to get above the clouds and to speak what God says and to train ourselves to believe what God says is true. Amen? Are you with me? I should probably hang out here a minute longer. So, what does he qualify? You want to go back to Mark 11? There's four other parables in the Bible. I'm not going to make you turn to them just because of the time. Where the fig tree was spoken about, where a mulberry tree was spoken about, that Jesus and even Peter, right after he asked about how many times should I forgive somebody, Jesus goes in to talk about faith and a servant. Jesus was always focused, it was almost like, and you know, I don't mean to say this badly, but I might. Jesus was not focused on the fact that whatsoever thing he said would come to pass. It was almost as if that was a natural understanding that he had. And he was more concerned with us forgiving and loving and receiving from God. It almost seems like that was more important to him. Because it's almost like he cursed the fig tree and never even explained it to the guys. He went on his way. And they came to him about it. Or when Peter talked about increase our faith so that we can forgive, Jesus does this little dissertation on faith as a servant. He says, but you do what's expected of you. Forgive these guys. So it's almost like what you say will come to pass is an automatic, of course it will. Like this, if you're at home and your child is at the dinner table, or in the house with you and it's supper time, does your child have to say, Dad, is it okay if I eat tonight? Mom, is it okay if I sleep in one of the beds tonight? Dad, do you mind if I sit on the sofa? Is that silly or what? Of course they can do all those things. Why? Because they're in the house. So it's almost like that was a normal thing for Jesus in his relationship with the Father. So if that's the case, then it should be a normal thing for us. How many of you tell your children to do something and don't even slightly expect them to obey you? You don't. You expect your words to be obeyed also. So we have to just turn them back to God and speak what God would speak. And speak to the mountains, speak to the problems, speak to ourselves, and speak words. Pastor Trey says this, and I know he's not the only one. Faith is what? Voice activated. Amen? And so as we speak in faith, then we can start receiving by faith the things that we speak. Are you with me? Amen. Are there any questions? Not you guys, these guys in here. Wow, all right, so you guys should all be experts at it from here on out, right? Let me ask you a question then, and I'm asking you guys out there too, answer yourself. If you pray and ask for something, are you going to expect that God said yes and gives it to you? A couple of people are gently, ever so slightly doing this in the congregation. They're going, you know why they do that? You know why you guys do that? It's because it's really hard for you to just believe God by faith. Because you're so trained that if you don't feel it, if you don't see it, if you can't touch it, taste it, smell it, hear it, that it's not real. And you expect that as soon as you say it, it's got to go and manifest in your flesh body. I want to let you know, it will. It will. But you got to be okay with whether it's a micro millisecond or 6 months. You got to be okay with that because there's forces in between. So let me ask you again. Why? Because I just like to ask. If you pray and ask God for something, Does he give it to you right then? Very good. Yes, he does. So now it's a matter on whether we're going to believe God that he gave it to us when he said, yes, just receive it. I did. And now we've got to take our heart and start examining ourselves and testing ourselves and walking it out. Okay, I just asked God for this. So he said, yes. He always says yes. So therefore, now I'm going to believe I've received it. It's mine. It is mine. It's thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing else I can really say except thank you because it's already mine. He gave it to me. So I can't ask him for it now. I've got to thank him for it. So now as I thank him for it, I can start in my life seeing it in my world now. I can start being around it, knowing that it's on its way. It's definitely mine and it's coming. So now I can start doing it. It's like a baby. Once the baby is birthed, not birthed, but consummated, and now the woman is pregnant and the things in her body start changing, all of a sudden, what do? They start preparing to receive what they know is going to be there, right? We have to groom ourselves and prepare ourselves to believe that what I pray happens, that what I ask for comes to pass. You have to groom yourself. You have to prepare yourself. Look at Elijah. Look at Elisha. How did they do what they do? They had to put themselves through a lot of stuff in order to believe God and to operate in the things of God. Jesus said to one person, the father of the son with the epilepsy, right? Who would throw himself into the fire and into the water after Jesus came down off the Mount of Transfiguration. And the disciples that were still down there, they tried to cast it out and it wouldn't go. And then Jesus says, how long am I going to endure with you? He called them a faithless and perverse generation. Because they were. They had no faith that they could do these things. And they were perverse. They were twisted. The way that they thought was wrong. And then Jesus did it. And they said, how come we couldn't do it? Why didn't it work for us, Jesus? We're with you all the time. He says, this kind goes out by prayer and fasting. You have to get more focused and more deliberate about this so that you start seeing these results better here. And that's what you and I need to do. Because I'll tell you, if we take the time to start grooming our hearts, examining our hearts, examining our words, listening to what we say, listening to what we think about. Because whatever is going into your body, it's hearing you. It's listening. It's totally listening all the time. And we start grooming that. We can start seeing better and better and better results in it. Can't we? So last testimony. Ready? I'm going to give you a failure that I just had. And I told Pastor Trey about it yesterday, you know, and it's like, sometimes we suffer failures in this, but that doesn't mean you stop. So here's an example. Okay, I was believing God for a truck. I have it all picked out. The age range, the color, the condition, all of it. I know exactly what I want, okay? That my faith is able to lay hold of this one, okay? Can I lay hold of something different? No, my faith isn't there. So I got to be real with where my faith is at. What can I actually believe for? Let's start there. So I started where I can actually believe for it, where I can be convinced that I'm allowed to have that and that it's right for me and it's not more than I can handle. Got that settled in my heart. And then I saw it in my imagination, in my heart, in my mind. I just got a picture flash that I could saw it. And then I go, okay. And so I just happened to go and look on the internet, on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or eBay or something. And I just looked. Guess what? Bang! One was just listed, exactly what I was looking for. I mean, perfect condition, right in the mileage range, right in my price range. Everything was perfect. I call, is it still available? It is. Okay, I'll get right back to you. Okay, got right, got the financing, got the cash in my pocket. I am ready to go get it. I got the days off of work. I have to go down to Naples, Florida to go get this truck. I've got a ride to Naples because a friend of mine lives down there and up here, and he was driving down there the very next morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. I am ready to get this truck that I was believing God for. It presented itself, and I got the money to go buy it, and I'm ready to go get my truck. Praise the Lord. I believed and I received. Right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As I'm packing up my clothes, shoving the money into my suitcase, guess what? I got a text. It's sold. What do you do at that moment? Now, this is the examine yourself and to test yourself. Are you in faith? I had a tiny setback. It felt like the thing I was believing God for got ripped out of me. And I had a very difficult time going to sleep. Why? Because I know the principle. But here's my question. And this is really important. Is it only true because you can see results in that direction? Is that what makes it true that you have what you ask for? Or do you actually have it when you asked for? That was my dilemma. Right at that moment, I had to decide. Well, what I did was I asked for a truck, and then what I did was I set my hope on a specific truck that I knew existed on the planet because it met all my conditions. And then when that was taken away from me, hope deferred makes the heart sick, the Bible says in Proverbs. So what I had to do was stop, get my composure, and go, Lord, it was true then, and it's true now. I have that. It's mine. Maybe not that particular one, but I have it. And I will. I will see it because I have it. I have it. What happened was somebody got there before I did. That's all that happened. Somebody got there before me. It's not God snatched it away from me, because everything along the line is yes, 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 yes. Somebody got there before I did. That's all that happened. So mine is still there. I just have to believe him. When you speak something and you ask for something, don't start trusting in feelings or what you're seeing out of your eyes as to whether it's working or not. Notice it and say, oh, good, but go on. Don't hold to that. Cling to the fact that God said, yes, you have it when you ask for it. Does that help? You have to cling to because you asked, you received, not because you're seeing the fruit of it coming to pass. Once you can get your attention truly on whatever I ask for, I receive, when you can really get your heart on that's where your reality is, your whole natural world will line up. Guess what? All right, here's my last thing, and then I'm going to let you go. What are you going to do when everything you ask for comes to pass? After that's all done. Okay, you need this, you need that, you need healing in your body, you need finance, you need a loved one saved. You need this, you need that. Okay, what happens when you get all that? Now what? Is your relationship over with God because you have everything you want? No. What do you do now? You start asking bigger. Start asking for other people. You start moving into a realm where your senses can't possibly put it together that you can pull it off. And that's where we get to go to where we start really thinking about the whole accumulative load of the kingdom of God and what we can accomplish in the kingdom in the spirit. And now we start really talking into the worlds, into the atmosphere, into the heavenlies, and prophesying situations and start speaking situations, knowing that we're adding into the kingdom of God right now. My words are making a deposit and forming and creating and manifesting the things of God. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. So we are the sons of God, the daughters of God. We have been given the authority to become what God is, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's a gift. We have it. Now we have to start proving it to ourselves and not going, God, when are you going to do it? God, why doesn't it work for me? God, where are you when I need you? You got to stop all that. And you got to start going, okay, how do I make this work, Lord? Lord, how do I pray that I see the results? How do I believe that when I ask, I receive? And you get in your Bible and 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 get in your Bible until it finally cultivates you to the place that there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Amen? Father, I just thank you for the word. I thank you for the Bible, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you have placed yourself in us, that we are in you and you are in us. Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus, and we are in you and you are in us. And we are one spirit with you, Lord. And Father, the way that you operate is that you speak by faith, calling things that do not exist as though they do exist, Lord. And Father, that whatsoever thing we pray, we have to believe that we've received it. And when we believe that we've received it, we'll have it. So Father, I ask that you would help everyone that can hear my voice, Lord, that as we speak, we believe we've received what we say. Father, help people in the area of unbelief. Start, Holy Spirit, start quickening people. Start loosening things. Start bringing to their attention as they examine themselves and as they test themselves to see, Father, if they're in the faith or not. Because you're in us and you're with us. So, Father, I ask you to open our inner ears so that we can hear what the Spirit is saying, hear what you are saying, hear what Jesus is saying to us, Lord, that we can follow your lead in all these things, Lord. And as you lead us in our life, as you lead us in your will, as you lead us in our day, that of course, whatsoever thing we ask for, we have. And Father, I ask that you put a blinder on people's eyes and ears of the things of this world and set their tuner, Lord, their dial, that they would dial into the kingdom of God and dial into you and completely dial themselves into our eternal habitation, and that we would put our attention and our focus on you, Lord, and on your will, and on you manifesting in this world, that we would give you all the glory and all the praise. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.